All right, joining me right now, and welcome back. We had him on, I guess it was about a month or so ago, Speaker of the House, John Hanson. Of course, he's running for governor in the state of South Dakota. And if we're not going to ask him the same questions we asked him the last time. We asked him about taxes and recidivism. If you want to check that recap out, check out our website, upcityradio.com, and just search John Hanson, and he'll give you his take on those items there. We're going to try to talk about a few other things with him today. Before I go any further, let's be nice enough and say, well, good afternoon. Welcome back to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's always good to hang out with you while we're in town.
All right. So I said we're going to try to talk about a couple other things. Let's talk about the last time, between the last time you visited us and what's going on, well, I guess nationwide. We are having some serious issues with gas prices out here nationwide. And I checked it out today. It was at $4.53. Statewide is $4.32. You since then had announced you wanted to do a special session to try to alleviate at least the state tax. I'm going to let you give an opportunity to talk about why you want to do that.
Yeah, well, so, you know, in my time as Speaker of the House and beyond, you know, we've been fighting for lower taxes for the people of South Dakota. We talked about it a little bit last time, fighting for lower sales taxes, fighting for lower property taxes. It's been a staple of my time as Speaker and in the legislature. I'm trying to get as much money back into the pockets of the people as we can. Because at the end of the day, I think the people know best how to spend their money, not the government. And so I want to keep it in their pockets as much as I can. And so we look at what's going on now across the country, and we feel it every day when you go to the pump. Gas prices have just gotten really high, and it's affecting a lot of families across South Dakota. It's affecting a lot of businesses. And of course, when that line item on your in your balance sheet goes up, that is your fuel line item, that puts a real squeeze on businesses, small and medium-sized businesses all across South Dakota. And so what can we do about that? Well, there is something that we can do. And, you know, they're talking about it in Washington, D.C. right now. In fact, the president was saying that at the federal level, they should eliminate the gas tax for a period of time. I think we should do the same thing in South Dakota. I think we should have a gas tax holiday for the summer months as these gas prices are just going way up. We have the ability here in South Dakota to lessen that burden at the pump. And if you combine those two reliefs, if you do the federal tax holiday and the state tax holiday, you're going to save about 50 cents per gallon of gas every time you fill up. That's meaningful relief that the people could use right now, and I think we should do it.
I think the concern, and I'm trying not to be too opinionated, I tried to stay as much in the middle as possible, and I know you're laughing at me when I say that, is well, there's a concern that the gas companies, well, their counter move is, well, if they're going to be lowering these, limiting these taxes, what's going to prevent us from saying, you know what, we'll make up the 40 to 50 cent difference and just raise it up by that amount?
Well, I get that concern, but, you know, if you look at businesses all down your main street, you're going to see a lot of gas stations, and they all have their prices on the board, on the road. And if there's one industry where there's competition to get that cent just a little slightly lower than the guy next door, it's the gas stations. And so I think you would see a significant relief right away. I don't think that they would just profit all of that money. I think that there would be free market competition that would allow citizens to receive that benefit.
And I know Governor Rona mentioned about this. We had him in town on Friday, and he mentioned off the mic, of course. But have you brought this up to his attention? And what is your response, if you had, that he's taken as far as this issue is concerned?
Yeah. So, you know, I gave him a heads up real briefly before I put out the call to his chief of staff. And since then, the media reached out to all of the other gubernatorial candidates. None of the other gubernatorial candidates, including our current governor, would support a gas tax holiday for the citizens of South Dakota. So the response from everybody else is no, they don't want to do a summer gas tax holiday. But I think that we should. I think it's the right move, and I think that people would really benefit from it.
And we mentioned, I saw your press release when you talk about this, you mentioned some of the funding that could be made up of that is going through potentially the Future Fund. We're talking, what, $50 to $60 million savings if this were to ever take place. Talk about how you would use the Future Fund to make up that difference.
Yeah, well, the Future Fund essentially is just a governor's office slush fund. And there's been a lot of frustration over that Future Fund lately for me and other conservative members of the legislature, because basically it's just this unaccountable governor's office slush fund. And in my opinion, and many others, it's been used and abused in many bad ways over the last number of years. Wasted money, but also deals that I think breed corruption and start to look like Washington, D.C., where politicians in the governor's office, you know, they're giving money out and then they're expecting favors in return and all that stuff. I just think that's wrong for South Dakota. I don't think we need that here. And so if I'm governor, and even before governor, because I'm advocating it right now, I would rather use that money and give it directly back to the people. And so that's my focus. It's not this political back and forth. It's not this I scratch your back and you scratch mine sort of Washington, D.C. style insider deals. It's, you know what? We want to put that money back into the pockets of the taxpayers. That's always going to be my focus.
And Speaker John Hansen is in studio with us today, and we're going to be, at the time this interview is airing, he'll be somewhere else. We'll touch on that real briefly coming up in a moment here. The other issue I wanted to bring up with you today is you've been a big champion as far as property rights. You and a group, a coalition that took place, especially with the 24 elections that took place there. How much of an issue is property rights this cycle compared to 2024?
Well, I still think it's a massive issue for a number of reasons, but maybe a little different than what it was. Of course, the last time in 2024, when we had the general election, there was Referred Law 21 on the ballot. And that was, you know, the proponents
but even,
of...
I'm sorry to jump off, and, but even before that, we saw what happened in the primaries that took place in 2024. And we saw that a lot of changeover taking place, and primarily was caused by that.
Yep.
And I'll let you continue on, but I wanted to jump in before because we mentioned 21, but that was more general election stuff.
Absolutely. And that's a great point because, you know, what we saw is before those primaries and before that general election, before we really were able to turn the tide in favor of property rights in our state legislature, there were politicians and peer in the governor's office who weren't siding with the landowners of this state and who were backing these out-of-state foreign-backed companies as they were trying to come in and use eminent domain to seize people's land and lay a carbon sequestration pipeline that could kill their family if it burst. And so we stepped up and we fought back and we finally passed a bill after that primary that ended eminent domain abuse by this carbon sequestration pipeline. And so now that we're fast forwarded to this election, it does look a little different, but that issue still remains. And, you know, you see that pipeline company is still operating in Iowa. They're still trying to go through. And if we make the wrong decision in these primary elections, from the governor's office down to the legislature, you name it, that pipeline company is going to be right back here in South Dakota. They will be beating down doors of landowners, and they will be trying to take their land with eminent domain once again. And so now it's just as important as it was before. We need good leaders who are going to stand up and defend private property rights in this
state.
So
what do you say to those, and I will say specifically the South Dakota Senate, because the South Dakota House did pass what would have been a constitutional amendment that would have had the no eminent domain for private gain. I'm just saying layman's term there. We saw what happened in the South Dakota Senate, and there were some landowners that actually pushed back on that amendment specifically. And some of them are also kind of pushing back on the 245, which we're not going to address today. But what do you do with those? And this is why I'm bringing up the issue whether or not property taxes or property rights are a big issue today as it was 2 years ago.
Well, you know, there was some disagreement over that measure. And there were some amendments that were put on in the House and then fixed over in the Senate side before it came down to the Senate floor. At the end of the day, if we have an opportunity to strengthen our God-given constitutional private property rights even further in our Constitution, I'm going to support that each and every single time. And that's why I supported that measure when it was coming through the legislature. But again, we are at a crossroads in this election. And if we don't make the right decisions as voters in this state, we are going to have these people try to come back and trample all over South Dakotans' private property rights. That's one of the main reasons I'm running for governor, along with a whole host of other reasons, is to make sure that we got the backs of our farmers and our ranchers, our landowners in South Dakota, and they're not just left hanging as out-of-state foreign-backed companies are trying to come in and seize their land.
All right. Speaker John Hansen is in studio with us today, and I want to move on to what has turned out to be really dicey the last, I would say, good month or so, and that is some of these campaign ads that we're running out here. I'm not accusing you. I'm not saying you specifically because I think you've kept it pretty clean for the most part.
That's right.
We have seen some, I don't want to say ads that are lying, but a lot of what I think I would call them misleading ads that we've seen
Definitely.
From other candidates out there. I'm going to ask you point blank, because what do you think the role of the media should be when it comes to running some of these ads? Do you think the media should be pulling away from these ads like the Governor Roden's camp has been calling for? Do you think, you know, we should run those? What should be the response? And are we doing something appropriate now, you know, addressing this type of issue with you now?
Yeah, well, I know there were some requests to pull down some of these ads that have been obviously false and extremely misleading and very nasty, frankly. But I do want to be clear about one thing, which is I am literally the only candidate in this race who hasn't spent a single dime putting on commercials attacking my opponents. And that's not how I'm going to operate. I actually have a track record of proven results that I'm running on. Mm-hmm. And I want to continue to communicate that message to the voters and then finally communicate to them what I'm going to do for them as governor. I think that's how these campaigns should be. What's your vision for the state? What have you done to prove that you are who you say you are? Mm-hmm. And then how are you going to execute on that as governor of South Dakota? That's what I'm bringing to this race. Everybody else has been funding up these nasty attacks. Many of them have just been completely false, including some directed my direction, completely false, 100% misleading, taking bills and votes out of context, quotes completely out of context. We don't want that for South Dakota. The voters of South Dakota deserve better. They deserve honesty. And so that's what we're going to continue to bring. I know all of my opponents aren't taking that track, but that's what I'm going to continue.
I got to be careful because I thought he was going to yell at me for a second there. But let me say this for the record. And ours is with the School Reform Act. That group is the ones that have been sending ads, and they're based out of D.C., and we all know who's in from D.C. Officially, they haven't endorsed anybody, but they are running kind of similar ads to the Rushmore Principle, which is the ones that the governor has been wanting to take down because they've been flat-out lies is what he's basically said. But as I told our bosses and I told the governor, and I'll say this to you as well, is the ads, we didn't produce the ads. These are not done. These are not our voices. They were sent to us. They paid for those ads to air on there. And by the way, we also aired something from the American Ag Network, and they're airing a lot of these type of ads with other candidates. And I don't want to say the names. I don't think it's appropriate for me to say that. So, yeah, we're going to have to run those, and it's a responsibility of the speaker. This is where I'm getting opinionated, and I got to be careful, is they have a right to defend themselves. And I think that's exactly what you're doing here.
I don't harbor any animosity towards any of our stations whatsoever. But, I mean, you mentioned some of these political action committees, too, and that's a particularly insidious aspect of this, which is, you know, a lot of these ads, the candidates themselves aren't even willing to put their own name on it. And so instead, they hide behind dark money political action committees. Now there's reporting coming out that they're obviously coming from Congressman Dusty Johnson, Toby Doden, others in this race. And so, you know what? If you're going to go after people, at least have the courage to put your name on it. And they're not even doing that. So it's really nasty, misleading, false advertising that we just don't need in South Dakota. And that's why I'm not taking part of that, and I won't take a part of that. And, you know, if the voters out there are looking for somebody who's going to shoot them straight, who's going to be honest, and who isn't going to hide behind dark money PACs in order to attack other people, I'm your guy in this race.
Now, what came out today that we saw was those campaign finance reports. And I would say of the four candidates, you've raised the least amount. You've got the least amount on hand. So for you, I think it's critical for you in this case. How important is the ground game for you at this point in time?
Well, it's been very important. That's why, you know, we were the first to announce that I was running for office. And since then, our ground game has only continued to build. Our support has only continued to surge, according to media reports and some public polling. Mm-hmm. You know, when we announced, we had the largest launch event in the history of South Dakota politics, as far as I know. When we submitted our petition signatures, we had more petition signatures than anybody else in the state. As we've been doing our events across the state more recently, we've had many events from east to the west side, standing room only. And so that's what I think politics should be like in South Dakota, is not big money. I don't want a state where big money can come in and buy South Dakota. I reject that, actually. And so when we see millions of dollars that are being funneled in from campaign committees out of Washington, D.C., I just completely reject that. And so that's why When you look at our political action or our campaign finance report, you will see that we are funded by the people of South Dakota, by donations all across the state, by people who are just stepping up and say, yeah, I don't want big money to dominate. I want South Dakota to be a place where we follow our state motto, under God, the people rule, that this is a government of the people, by the people, okay, and for the people. And that's exactly what we're bringing to this race.
All right, last question. Well, actually, I may have one more to add on, but the last definite question I was going to ask you, and I'm a registered independent. I've said that on the air, and I'm going to remain an independent. So I will not be voting in the primary coming up on June 2nd. So I think I'm the right person to ask this type of question. And you laugh about it, but I want you to define what it means to be a Republican in the state of South Dakota and compare it now to what it was 2 years ago or even 10 years ago when you were in the South Dakota legislature.
Well, I'll tell you, I think that there is a real divide, particularly in the Republican Party now. And there's really two competing visions for this state. And I think in this election, that's exactly what this tees up. And if we elect the wrong person in the seat of governor, we're going to head down a road that starts to look more and more like Colorado. You know, Colorado used to be a Republican state, but then they elected the wrong supposedly Republican leaders, and then it went purple, and now it's just as blue as any other blue state in the union. I don't want that for South Dakota. I don't want a South Dakota where we're obsessed with the big money and the special interests, and they're driving the bus. Where the lobbyists come into peer and dictate, and the red carpet is rolled out for them, but for the average citizen, the door is shut in their face. That's not what I want. I want a different Republican Party. I want a Republican Party that puts the people of South Dakota first again, that's rooted in faith and family and freedom, that has leaders that are rooted in biblical truth and conservative Republican values and fidelity to our state and federal constitution. That's my vision, fighting for families, safe communities, excellent education, and opportunities for the next generation to build a career and a family right back here in South Dakota. That's what I'm fighting for.
And I should note that we are recording this interview because at the time of this interview, you're going to be out in Ingalls at this time and part of the Brown County Lincoln Day Dinner. This will be the bonus question. You don't have to answer this if you want. But talk about what you want to expect to see and hear tonight here in Aberdeen.
Well, you know, I hope to hear some good speeches from some really good candidates. And it's a little bit of what we were talking about earlier. I also hope we get a lot of good turnout to this event because I think it's really important this election. And from the governor's office to some of these legislative seats, the constitutional offices on down, this election is going to chart the course for the next decade, multiple decades in South Dakota. And if we don't pick the right leaders, we are going to start to look more and more like Colorado. So I hope people turn out. I hope they get informed. Great opportunity to come listen to candidates and decide for yourself who's shooting you straight, who's honest, who's going to follow through on conservative Republican values. That's what I'm doing in this race, and that's what I want to bring to the governor's
office. As we wrap this
up
with Speaker John Hanson, first off, thank you for coming back out here and braving the elements. I got him about a month ago, and I guess I did a good enough job for me to be invited back on with you again. I always give the guests the last word. Last word goes to you, and I'll let you go any direction you want to go.
Well, if nobody's met my wife. My wife, Sheila, is also in studio today. So Sheila came up. The kids are back home with the babysitter. We've got six kids. They're back home today. So she won't let me count this as a date because it's a political dinner. But it's fun being out with Sheila. So Sheila's with us today, too.
All right. I won't have her say. I won't have her say anything. I got her mic off right now. So Speaker John Hanson, thank you for coming out today.
Thank you, Scott. Appreciate it.